it's a big part of my game the last few years and why I've become a better player, I think. I think defensively, I've slowly become harder to play against since I signed pro, and that's one thing I really want to take pride in this year. Honestly, I'm not the biggest fan of fighting, but I like to think I'm a good teammate, good locker room guy, and when it has to happen, it has to happen. I'm 6'5", I got to stand up for myself, for my teammates, so something I'm not afraid to do for sure, and I think there's still a lot of value that in hockey today. You police the game, you help your team in any way you can, and that's another way you can do it.
Michael Kesselring, newest Buffalo Sabre, who will he will need a number, and he wore number 7 in Utah. That is unavailable. Would it be funny if he just wore 77?
I was just going to say that. If he just takes 77 number and...
That could be a defenseman number, right? 77? Didn't Kulikov wear 77?
He did. I think here, yes. Because he had 7 before he came here.
Actually, it's an all-time defenseman number because isn't Paul Coffey and Ray Bourque also 77? I think 77's a good defenseman number. Although, is it a good big defenseman number? Still yes. No, still yes.
4 players have worn 77 in Sabres history. Pierre Turgeon, Chris Gratton, Dmitry Kulikov for 1 season, and J.J. Uh-huh. Paterka.
All right, it's 2 forwards and 2 and 2 defensemen. So it's a good number. It's a good number. If he doesn't go with 7, he wore 5 in Arizona. Is 5 unavailable right now? We haven't retired it for Tony Ludman yet.
Last Sabre to wear it was Matt Tennyson.
Okay, so it's been a minute.
2019.
I think, how long ago is that? Matt Tennyson, who even is that?
You don't remember Matt Tennyson? Come on.
The name sounds familiar, but he probably would be a good Sabre rando answer, looking back on just random players from the last 10 years. Anyways, Kesselring, you know, as we learn more and more about these guys, by the way, 803-0550 is the phone number if you want to get in. Open segment here, and at 8 o'clock, we've got a Utah guest coming up at 9 to get a little bit more on these two. But the more you learn about Kesselring, the more he's interesting. He's curious. Like, I don't know how he got drafted where he did. He's a 6th-round pick. He's fast and big. But he does, like, he talks there in that clip about physicality and defending teammates. And I saw a lot of, like, well, that's what fans are going to love to hear. Like, this guy's going to stand up for teammates. And he does fight. So I think if you're worried about more players that aren't going to do anything when your best player's helmet gets taken off and is laying at center ice, I think you've got 2 guys here that you shouldn't have to worry about. But hit stats are generally pretty unreliable in the NHL, right? But he does not throw the body around a lot. Like, 87 hits last season in 82 games. That ain't much. Like, Samuelson had 50 more than that, or something close to it. So I don't know that he's going to be this big hulking defenseman that's going to impose his physicality. He might stand up for teammates, but I still think the speed and the size of the shot is going to be what's going to jump out to people right away when you watch him.
He's fun to watch play. He flashes a lot. I did some digging on him last night, and he's just got a lot of jam. Like, he's not super aggressive physically, like you mentioned.
Yep.
But he does do it when it's appropriate. And he does a really good job with the puck on his stick. He struggles a little bit breaking the puck out of his own end, which is a little concerning. But
yep,
when you've got Owen Power as your partner, you might be able to just dump it off to him and kind of let Power do whatever Power does. That's kind of the give and take when you have a guy like Power as your partner. You can use him for stuff like that, but you've got to be able to cover for him in the D zone when he gets there. And just a quick note about his draft year. It looks like he played some prep hockey before he went to the USHL and got drafted that year.
Gotcha.
So it was likely a competition question issue more than it was his draft profile in and of itself. I know a lot of guys that play high school or prep hockey out east,
mm-hmm.
they get drafted, but it's often it's hard to project because they're not playing against the same level of competition as you see in the USHL or the OHL, WHL, all that.
Okay.
So it's just kind of a little tougher to project that stuff. That's probably why he slipped to where he did when Edmonton took him.
By the way, not this past year, the year before, he did receive 1 fourth place and 5 fifth place Calder votes for his rookie season. Michael Kesselring. By the way, as the chat points out, Colin wrote that Hedman wears 77. We missed that one.
Oh,
yeah. We went straight back to the 90s. We skipped the multi-Norris trophy winner in the league right now that wears 77. So definitely a defenseman number.
Yeah.
I think I'm in. Take it. Why not? The guy that you got traded for. And then, actually, this happened more than 10 years ago now. And maybe they've done it since. But I remember when the Sabres traded Derek Roy to Dallas and got Steve Ott back in the trade. My brother had a Derek Roy jersey. And the Sabres offered for free, bring your Roy jersey in and we'll change the nameplate for you. And you'll have a Steve Ott jersey.
They did the same thing with Eichel when he changed from 15 to 9.
Right.
I had an Eichel 15, but I decided to keep
now,
it.
See, the two things that are weird there is that's two numbers that you're changing or what? Yeah, and in my brother's case, you're changing a three-letter number for a three-letter number. Would they not offer it for free because of how long Kesselring's name is? No. We don't need to do that. Brian in Buffalo is next up. What's up, Brian?
Hey, good morning, guys. How are you?
Good.
So, I hate to be this person, but I disagree with everything you guys say. I've been listening since 6 a.m., driving to the Adirondacks at the moment. This team is an abomination of professional sports. The only team worse than them run out of the four pro leagues are the Jets, hands down. Ownership is a joke. Management is non-existent. The Sabres need to go out and find their Brandon Bean. They need to be aggressive, make a trade, find a Josh Allen type. Oh, wait, we had that guy in Sam Reinhardt. We had that guy in Jack Eichel. It's disgusting that this team can't do anything. I can't believe people are continuing to support this garbage product on the ice, continuing to fill the barn, continuing to buy season tickets. That's the only way things are going to change around here is for people to protest, revolt, stand up, impeach Kathy Hochul, and stop buying tickets to this team. It's a joke.
Well, Brian, wouldn't you say that is happening? Like, their attendance has been going down and down and down every year.
No, I don't. I want to see the 300 bowl completely empty, vacant. People with brown paper bags on their head, like the old New Orleans Aints. Like, I don't understand why people are just like, la-di-da, like, okay, let's go. Everything's great. This is a great family atmosphere.
I don't really think that is, like, some people maybe will do that, but they get torched on a daily basis for almost everything. And I think they have earned that, but it definitely happens.
Yeah, they should get torched. And you know what? We went to the Rangers game last year before Christmas. It was great sitting amongst Rangers fans. Like, they actually have something to cheer for. What free agent in their right mind is going to want to come here to lose? Who are you going to play with here? Tage Thompson? If Thompson played on another team with legit players, the guy's probably a Brett Hall type scoring 70 goals. It's just insane.
I mean, he's scoring as many goals as anybody in the league already. Nobody's scoring 70 goals. So
no, I disagree with that. He goes plays with Connor McDavid. He's putting 70 in the net. I mean, it's just ridiculous. These guys play in Buffalo. I personally think if a player was playing here, they're going to tank and suck on purpose so they can get traded the hell out of here. Who wants to play here? I mean, this organization is good at one thing, losing. That's all they've done since they've come into the NHL. It is a joke. Sell the franchise, move them, trade them for Major League Baseball. Like, I won't be buying a jersey. Yep, see ya.
Yeah, thanks, Brian, for the call. Listen, I think you are completely within the right to be that angry about this team. I do think you're not giving fans enough credit, though, for holding the team accountable.
Yeah,
I do think that the Sabre fans hold this team accountable. They do it by, I mean, like, sure, the negativity can sometimes be depressing how much of there is, but that's how you hold them accountable, is not checking out and being angry and, sure, with your wallets and not buying tickets. And listen, that's been happening. For years now, the season ticket base has shrunk. The attendance numbers have shrunk. The fan engagement has shrunk. Like, I don't doubt that they feel that. And I think they deserve it. I think you're just taking some things way too far. Tage Thompson led the league in even strength goals last year. He scored 47 a couple of years ago. Like, sure, would he score 55 if he played with, you pick the best player in the league? Yes, that's probably right. Everybody would see 20 more goals on their stats. Austin Matthews would probably score 85 if he played with Connor McDavid. Most would. But then you don't have to take it as far as you did on some of those fronts. I think they get criticized the proper amount, which is a lot.
Right, and doesn't it feel almost, at least it does to me, like this Paterka deal is universally hated by almost everybody.
I wouldn't say universally. I would say the majority, though, doesn't like it.
And I think that that has changed from the initial moment that it happened, because I think people are so angry at this team that anything that happens with them, I don't like that. It's bad. They did it. It must be bad. And I think that a lot of people have that initial reaction, rightfully so. Like, they have earned that. They've earned every bit of that. But I think that we've seen, as the day goes, we heard Sal yesterday as the show went. He's like, I like this trade more and more. I feel similarly about it. I like the players they got back. Was it enough value? No. They didn't get slaughtered here. I think they got a good player in Kesselring and the potential for a nice depth piece in Doan. And everybody hated it because of what we're talking about here. Because they've earned the skepticism and the anger from the fan base, it's completely well within everybody's right to feel the way they do about it, and it's well within the caller's right to feel the way he does with that, about it. But you also then have to take a step back, and with time comes, all right, let's get a little more objective about this and analyze this.
And I also don't want to disparage, like, I'm angry about this team, and it's one of the worst, it's probably the worst thing that's ever happened to me, like, as a sports fan.
Oh, yeah.
Because I grew up, I like, hockey was my sport. Like, I fell in love with this team in 06, and for them to go half my life without making the playoffs has been horrific. I hate it, but I don't disparage anybody for not wanting to be angry about it all the time. I actually kind of envy that person that's able to kind of just not get mad about it and not feel like they need to crawl into a sinkhole every time the team comes up. Some people that can just enjoy it for what it is, which is, I'm going to go to a hockey game and, oh, they're not good this year. Oh, dang, that stinks. And, like, oh, maybe next year. You know, like, that fan, I'm not saying, like, the caller almost kind of tries to imply that that fan's not as much of a fan because you're not willing to hold the team accountable. And even though I think most are, the fan that just wants to go to a game and have a great time and loves hockey and grew up loving this team and doesn't want to live in the sewer with all of us.
Right.
You know, like, I don't feel like that fan deserves any criticism.
Right. I think if you are able to disconnect from them emotionally in the way that you're describing, where you can not be so negatively affected, good for you. I wish I could do that, too.
I really do wish I could
I really wish it. I've been jealous of Bulldog at times because he's said that. He feels like it's almost, I don't know, like, all right, I'll care when they make me care. And I envy that in many ways because I care just so much about this team because hockey, similar to you, was my game. And I want to see them succeed. And I want to see the city when they succeed. I want to know what it's like to be an adult and have a successful hockey team in this place because I think it'll be incredible. And I've never known it.
Also, I would throw, there's one more team in professional sports that I think is definitely worse. It wouldn't be the Jets. It's definitely the Pirates.
Yeah, the Pirates are.
The Pittsburgh Pirates, go Google Pittsburgh. They're having a year right now. Like, they hate their fans. Like, the Sabres might not, like Adams earlier in the week, there might be a disconnect between the organization and the fans on some fronts, but the Pirates act like they actively hate their fans. with some of the things they do. Throwing out the bricks earlier in the year that season ticket holders had bought.
Crazy.
And the thing where they had a doubleheader and they decided to play Paul Skeens in the game that no one was going to be at rather than the night game that everybody was going to be. Like, just they do things like that all the time.
It's objectively
just like,
hilarious yeah. how they run things.
Not to say the Sabres are a ton better, right. but the Pirates, I think, are like the worst team in all of sports. John, if you hang on hold through the break, we'll get to you right when we come back. Yeah, this Sabres offseason, we'll see what it brings other than this Paterka trade. Tonight, the draft, 9 overall. Let's hope they trade the pick. Jody Biasi, Jeremy White's off today. Owen and Josh are hanging out as well here in WGR.